Welcome to Dave Ramsey's Entree Leadership Podcast. This is a place to learn what Dave Ramsey and his team teach about leadership and business. On today's show, we're going to hear Dave teaching about inspiration. Yep, that thing that we all need, everybody needs. Not only do I need it, not only do you need it, but so does your team. We will also have a special interview, and this is great, with Jen Lim, who is CEO and, check this out, Chief Happiness Officer of Delivering Happiness. She's also the creator of the culture book that Zappos has. I think it's now in their seventh printing. If you don't have one of those, we're going to tell you how to get one of those. Who am I? My name is Chris Licurdo, and I am the host for the Entree Leadership Podcast. In our last episode, we talked to Stephen M. R. Covey about delegation and his new book, Smart Trust. Incredible interview. That is one of the things that I see as I teach these principles here around the country, wherever, whenever I'm speaking with business leaders and owners. I completely understand that delegation is one of the most misunderstood things. People don't know how to do it the right way. I shouldn't say people as in a general blanket statement, but most of the people that I meet don't know how to do it the right way. And the reason is simple. They learned from the person that they had leading them how to delegate. And since they didn't know how to do it, guess what? They passed on the great lesson of not knowing how to do it. This week, Dave is going to share the seven things that will equip you as a leader to inspire your team. One of the things he says all the time is, your team will do what you do. So don't expect them to be inspired if you're not. Plain and simple. If you're coming into the building every single day and you're not inspired, how in the world can you expect your team to be inspired? So we're going to start with you, and then we're going to have you inspire your team. So here is Dave Ramsey on inspiration.
Inspiration. Inspiration touches the emotion and causes action. Webster says that inspiration is stimulation of the mind or emotions to a high level of feeling or activity. If you go in as a leader and you do not have an inspirational situation and culture and you try to be inspiring, that's what you're going to look like. You're going to look like a doofus. The things we've been talking about are what create inspiration. It is a layer cake. Perpetual optimism is a force multiplier, Colin Powell said. Entree leadership, inspiration is a mix of casting the vision, having a dream that becomes a vision, that becomes a goal that is inserted into our time management. It has to do with how you compensate people. They get inspired by earning money for what they do. Crusading, they've got to have work that matters. They need a storytelling and testifying. Talk about the success that we've done. Tell the stories of how we got here. You're standing on the shoulders of giants. Predictable organizational culture and leadership. You've got to be predictable. That is a form of integrity. How can they do what they think you're going to do if you do something different every time something comes up? Organizational structure, reaction, action has to be predictable. Entree leadership inspiration is also a mix of passion. So inspiration is all of these other things we've been talking about layered together. It's your example, the speed that you operate with, your delegation process, all of those things. The entree leader who is inspiring a team must be able to cast that vision, show a way for their team. You've got to communicate the vision. You've got to communicate the vision. They got to know where they're going. I told you, Andy Stanley says that you got to tell them 21 times before they hear it once. And then you got to tell them all the time so that they know exactly where we're going and how we're going to get there. You got to be able to raise the troops and rally the troops. The team member will remain inspired only when they feel compensated for their results. You can recognize them. You can give them a t-shirt. You can do all these different things, but you don't pay them at the end of the day. They're not going to stay hyped about it. They don't get to participate in the win financially. No one stays jacked for indefinitely. Tell the story or the history of how we got here. Remind them how we got here. Remind them what happened when your grandfather started the business, your father started the business, when my mother started the business. Remind them when I started the business. This was started on a card table in my living room 17 years ago. There's a reason we got here. There's a reason we do these things. There's a reason we fight. There's a reason we're warriors. And you go back and tell the story over and over and over. Bring out different pieces of the story. Tell the story so much that people that weren't there when the story happened can tell other people the story. You've then communicated the history of your organization, the DNA of who you are. Read letters of compliments and letters of lives touched during staff meeting. I'll take emails. I stack them on my desk. They come in from all kinds of sources. On the web, they come in at Dave On Air, our radio email. They come in the mail. They come through other team members that it's sent to them, and they send them immediately to me. Why? Because they want them to be read in front of everybody. And so I get a letter like this, and I stand in staff meeting, and I'll read these, or even in Devo, and I'll read these at the end of the staff meeting or somewhere around the end of it. Dustin sends me this. Just wanted to say thanks and tell you what a great help Jeanette has been in helping us get our tickets for the Nashville Live event. She's been wonderful. I wish all customer service agents were this great. Thanks. And I say to her then, in front of everybody, with her sitting right there, Jeanette, you are a rock star. No wonder you lead the room in customer care almost every month. It's because you make people feel like this when you deal with them. Thank you for that. Excellence in the ordinary, kiddo. You're awesome. Everybody give Jeanette a round of applause, and they all just cheer. She's on cloud nine for the rest of her dadgum life. Once every 2 years, if she gets one of those, in front of her peers, who are also very excellent at what they do. That's pretty incredible. Dave, we just wanted to send thanks to you, our church, and to our church advisor, Amy Ragsdale. 1 week before our fall Financial Peace University classes were to start, our area was devastated by a hurricane. Our church suffered major damage, and half of our Financial Peace kits were ruined. We called Amy to ask her to put the class on hold. She offered to send us the replacement kits free for the ones we had lost. We were not expecting that at all. It was a real encouragement to us. Another church is letting us use their facilities, so we're able to go ahead and get Financial Peace University rolling again. Needless to say, we didn't have to convince anyone in the class about the importance of an emergency fund. Hey, Amy, thank you for remembering that you work for yourself. Thank you for remembering that you run your own business. Thank you for knowing that you had the power inside of our organization to do the right thing. Those poor people got hit with a hurricane. You didn't have to ask your boss. You didn't have to ask anybody. You just shipped them free kits to replace them. Why? Because that's how you'd want to be treated if you were in that situation. People like you make our organization really look good. You're a rock star, Amy. Boom. Guess what? I just deputized people to do the right thing all through this place. By recognizing her for doing that, I will duplicate that result and that action every time it comes up. And people cheer, and Amy's just smiling, isn't she? This is the one in our place that causes people to cry. There'll be tears running when I read one of these. Dave, thanks so much. I work for Toyota in Indiana. We were offered Financial Peace as a new benefit, and it was great, but debt is not what this email is about. I've been searching for help, and I didn't know what I was looking for. I've been talking to some people at work, and they've been some help, and I felt I was on the right track, but last night I got to the car after work, and I felt led to listen to your bonus CD in the Financial Peace kit. To make a long story short, at 5 o'clock in the morning in a deserted parking lot, I prayed with you and asked Jesus to come into my life. I sat in my car and cried like a baby at 46 years old. I've messed up about everything in my life, but now I'm going to be okay. And our guys are going, woohoo! And I'm going, hey guys, you guys in shipping, you ship that box. You guys in doing purchase orders and getting those CDs printed, there's a guy going to heaven because of you. And people are just rocking, man. The whole place goes bananas because that's why we exist right there. And man, absolutely incredible. So you read those things and you create the response that you want out there in the process as well.
Hopefully that has inspired you as a leader. Hopefully as an owner, that has inspired you. The thing that you have to come to realize is you are responsible for inspiring your team. I know exactly what you're thinking right now. My gosh, I give them a paycheck. Is that not inspiration enough? Guess what? We all feel the same way. As leaders, we all think the same. As entrepreneurs, we all think the same way. The problem is, the answer is no. No, it is not enough. If you think back to when you were a kid and you were working somewhere, did you just work for that paycheck? No, not really. You were hoping that somebody would come alongside of you and inspire you to be something greater than you are. Inspire you in your day-to-day. Help you with your inspiration. So folks, this becomes your job. This becomes your job. Inspiring your team. Making sure. Because as Webster says, inspiration creates high levels of feeling or activity. Now, I don't know about you, But in my leadership, that's exactly what I'm looking for. I'm looking for high levels of activity, and I'm looking for the right levels of activity. So start by just telling people how great they are. Tell them what they're doing right. Find them doing things right. Again, as leaders and as entrepreneurs, we have no problem finding people doing things wrong. Instead, today, go out there, find a handful of people doing something right. Inspire them. Then start sharing the great things that they've done in front of their team. Inspire them by reading notes, by reading cards, reading, you know, anything that a customer is sending in saying how great somebody did. Share that kind of stuff. As you do this, you will be amazed as you're able to watch your people work harder, work better, be more unified, and have incredible levels of communication. When you're not inspired, you don't do those. You might remember that there was a time in your life you were probably in that same situation. Inspire your team. All right, moving on.
Hey, Chris.
Hey.
Hey, I remember when I worked for you back in the day.
One
of the fun things we did for inspiration was we all took the day off and went and played laser tag. And we had games. You remember that?
I do remember
Nothing
that.
Nothing says I love you to your team members like blowing them up in a laser tag zone.
when you're shooting your team members, that's pretty inspiring, actually.
It is. It was exciting. And then I remember the next week we had our Christmas party, and we all got like Xbox 360s or something like that. And I was like, hey, are we going to work the following week? Because I'm liking these Fridays where we just get stuff and do things like this.
We might as well just take the whole week off.
I only say that in light of our upcoming interview here.
Mm. Oh, with Jen Lim. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. This is exciting. Jen Lim, again, you heard me on the front side of this. Jen Lim is CEO and Chief Happiness Officer of Delivering Happiness. She's also the creator of the culture book that Zappos uses. If you don't have one of those, you want to get this. You hear it from us all the time. We're always preaching culture. You have got to have culture. You got to figure out what kind of culture you want. One of the elements of that culture should be happiness. What a crazy thought. Your team should be happy. Your team should be inspired. So Delivering Happiness is a company that she and Tony Hsieh, CEO of Zappos, co-created to inspire happiness in work, community, and everyday life. With the success of the culture book and Delivering Happiness, she's spoken at companies, universities, organizations such as Twitter, Pixar, Stanford, UCLA, and the Entrepreneurs Organization, NAWBO, and the American Marketing Association. I don't know if you've ever heard of any of those. Maybe not. Probably not, right? You don't know any of those. Those are small places. Folks, Jen Lim is creating happiness all across this country and businesses all across this country. So do me a favor and welcome to the show, Jen Lim. Jen, we are so glad to have you on the show.
Thanks so much for having me.
Thanks for being a part of this. We are huge here at our company about culture. Everything that we're teaching in Entree Leadership, everything that we teach these businesses, these leaders, as they're listening to the podcast, as we're going along, the biggest part of this is culture. And you guys are all about culture.
Yes, we are. And it's really encouraging to hear that you're about it too, because that's what we pretty much discovered after the book came out, Delivering Happiness, that there are a lot of people, companies, organizations doing it in the world. And for us, it was really encouraging to know that people are focusing on the right things more and more.
And I think probably the thing that you're most well known for, and it's not just Zappos, which obviously you're with Delivering Happiness now, but when your time with Zappos is putting together the book, the culture book. How in the world did you come up with this idea? How did this book get started?
Well, I appreciate that, your feedback, but, you know, like a lot of the ideas when Zappos was a younger company, a lot of the ideas came at happy hour over a shot of vodka or two. But basically, that's how this one came out. It was at a time when Zappos just made the commitment to focus on company culture, so it was a relatively risky move because we hadn't really, you know, substantiated ourselves as anything in the whole realm of culture. But the idea behind the culture book in being able to ask employees themselves to define what Zappos culture means to them and just print everything, you know, whether it's good or bad, totally unedited, except for, you know, spelling and typos, was sort of our way of saying, you know, this is our promise to transparency of what we are committing to, and that is company culture and happiness for our employees. So it was just one of those, you know, off-the-cuff ideas and sounded, you know, something to worth exploring. And so when Tony and I talked about it, he said, you know, I want to take this on. And I said, you know, I've never done a book before, but yeah, that sounds great. So let's do it. And it's been pretty incredible to see how it started in this tiny little pamphlet, you know, based on the number of employees back then. And to now we're on a 7th edition, and it's been amazing to see how it's grown for not just the employees and the vendors and the partners and customers for Zappos, but essentially it's becoming a brand book for Zappos all around the world since we send it to anyone that asks for one. And that offer is open to, you know, any of your audience listening right now that happy to send you a copy of the culture book if you just shoot me an email, which is jen@deliveringhappiness.com, and that's Jen with two N's.
And folks, if you do not have this book, you need to get this book. And I love, like you say, it's not just company culture. It's what the team members believe the company culture is. It's what they've experienced there as well. Right. In the 2011 book, you start off with Zappos core values. Why did you decide to put this in at the very beginning, and how do those values build or instill loyalty on your team?
Right. Well, you know, it's interestingly enough, I mean, in some ways, all of the focus on company culture once this started about 7-8 years ago was sort of an experiment. And sort of I kind of look at Zappos and having coming from a consulting background and seeing other companies and what they did with culture, what Zappos was doing at that time was so, you know, in many ways revolutionary. And when people question, you know, how can you actually make something like culture tangible instead of, you know, something that you just talk about? And at the end of the day, what we realized and what we learned was this, those core values became more and more important throughout the time that since it had been instituted. So basically how it was developed was just actually surveying the whole company. So it wasn't like a senior management offsite, like these are our values and let's tell everyone this is who we are. But it took quite a long time. It took it over a year to actually get everyone's feedback, go through the process of whittling them down to from 30 to finally 10 and make them the actual, you know, core values that everyone contributed to. And so why I put it at the front and why it's always a topic of conversation is because that essentially what we were able to use to formalize in a way that it's actually, you know, tangible for people to understand and tactical, because at the end of the day, whether it's the hiring process or firing process, it's all based on these 10 core values.
And I think that's the one thing that so many small businesses don't understand is that if you don't actually have core values, you don't know where you're going. You don't know what you're standing for. You don't know what your directions are. And mm-hmm. I think we've got a lot of the same core values in our company and yours as well. In the culture book, you wrote Zappos at age one. The goal was to be, like you just said, the goal was to be the largest online shoe retailer in the world. Mm-hmm. Zappos at age four. The goal was to be a service company that happens to sell shoes. Zappos at age six, the goal was to be a company led by culture and core values. Zappos at age 10, the goal was to deliver happiness to the world. So the question is, are you saying that a company can't and won't develop its culture and core values until it's been around for about 10 years?
That's a great question. The short answer is, I think a company can. I think a company evolves with time. But what I think was an interesting sort of study or case study with Zappos was that the biggest lesson learned, and part of the reason why Tony even wanted to write a book and why we even launched as a book and now a company, is that to let people know it wasn't an overnight success. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't an overnight doing how company culture became the highest priority for the company. But what we did learn is that the earlier you do it, the better. Mm-hmm. So for all the companies that are, you know, coming to us now and asking, like, what do we do? We're at stage either 1 or 0 as a startup, or stage 5 or 10 in terms of maturity. And it comes back to the same thing. Whatever stage you are, those core values are instrumental in doing whatever it comes after. So I believe in evolution, and I believe that, you know, companies mature over time and refining what they do. But it does come back to, unless you have that higher purpose that your employees can be inspired by, not just your employees, but your customers and your partners, then it makes it all that harder to actually grow what you want to be, eventually want to be. That notion of having a higher purpose around those core values, whether it's an example of Zappos or a lot of the research that's been done, like Jim Collins' Good to Great or Tribal Leadership, all goes back to this concept of the most long-term sustainable brands are those that focus on things like higher purpose and company culture. So it's just an interesting example that Zappos has done it that way, but the research goes back to substantiate that as well.
Uh-huh. I love what you say, but the company has to understand we didn't just get here overnight.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know with y'all's, you know, with your rise and how huge you guys have become across the planet, that people all of a sudden pick up and you're there, you're big. Zappos is huge. And so it's like, okay, well, what do I do right now to get to where you are? Well, it didn't start yesterday. This is something, mm-hmm. culture is something that even though it wasn't your biggest focus in the beginning, it was something that you were doing in the beginning.
Right.
Which created a lifestyle of culture inside the business.
Right. And it's something that, and one of the things that people and companies ask, like, how do we go about it? The number one thing that I always reinforce is that commitment, that it's just not a one-time deal. It's not just, you know, establish your core values and that's it. It actually has to be something that is reinforced, you know, on a day-to-day basis.
It's not a quick fix.
Yeah. Not just scale a culture, but actually make it better.
Absolutely.
And improve it over time. One of the things I like to, because people ask, you know, I've been working in consulting at Zappos for almost 9 years now. So my best analogy for what I've seen at Zappos is kind of like, when you have a best friend in high school and they have a younger sibling.
Mm-hmm.
And so back in the day, Zappos was that younger sibling. I was like, oh, this is a cute little startup. You know, let's see what's going to happen. And then a few years later, I'm looking up at this thing and said, you know, how did you get so big? And it's just a wonderment, you know, because knowing Zappos as long as I have and having known Tony for a while as well, it's been amazing to see, you know, the real journey of all the ups and downs of, you know, potentially closing its doors to where it is today. And so part of the reason of writing the book was so that everyone knows that it is a constant journey and an effort towards something like this.
Absolutely. How does a young leader go about creating a culture of loyalty?
Mm-hmm. A young leader as opposed to
somebody who's brand spanking new, somebody who's only got maybe a couple years worth in, you know, under their belt as far as leading people. How do mm-hmm. they, not necessarily by age, but how does somebody who is mm-hmm. just getting going, how do they create that culture of loyalty?
Yeah, sure. You know what? I mean, I point back to where we are right now as a company delivering happiness, and essentially we're a startup. In many ways, like we're riding on from like what has been developed as Zappos and the book, but officially launching to our own company essentially makes us young as well.
Mm-hmm.
And how we look at it is just really being true to who we are and what we truly represent. And that separates us from the rest of the noise. There's just so much going on, and there's so many inputs, so many new companies, so many startups, especially, you know, if you live in the hotbeds of whether it's California or New York, or I'm not sure where you live, but, you know, it seems like there's a startup popping up every day. But at the end of the day, what I feel differentiates is the authenticity of voice and vision of what you're really striving to do. Like, it doesn't even matter at the end of the day if you're selling a service or paperclips. What's most important is the why.
Mm-hmm.
Why are you actually going out to market with this, and what is the real, you know, the reason? A higher purpose. And that again goes back to inspiring our employees and inspiring customers to even consider you amongst the noise. Or
absolutely. Why do you think so many, because you get a chance to talk to all kinds of businesses, why do you mm-hmm. think so many businesses struggle with creating a loyal team these days?
I think that at the end of the day, it's easy to let it slide.
Mm.
And
when you say let it,
yeah, and let the whole concept of what this, in many ways, just like culture, it's a kind of an intangible thing, this thing called loyalty. And a lot of companies and mindsets are still geared around what's the ROI, what's the bottom line, how's it going to affect it. Mm-hmm. And those are important. However, and what we talk about also in the book is like the profit side is just a necessary means to what the other things are that we believe are of higher importance, which is loyalty, the passion, and again, the purpose. So I think especially when times are rough, and we're seeing this more and more these days in these economic times, it's just easy to say, okay, well, these things have to go first. And I guess it's maybe just the way it's been historically, how people start cutting costs from that point. But, again, it goes back to that commitment. If you actually believe this notion that by focusing on your customers and focusing your employees and by building that relationship, therefore building loyalty, actually will make you a more successful company, as the research has shown, as Atlas has shown, then that will guide your decisions. But again, it has to be that commitment to it.
Mm-hmm. I think so many young business leaders or business owners are not coming out of a company, did not work for a company that had great culture, that had great loyalty. They learned the same thing, which is focus on the bottom line, like you're saying. Focus on the bottom line, get the numbers in, make that part work, and then we'll be successful, which, again, can work in a short period of time. And mm-hmm. and ultimately, if you don't have any margin, then you're in trouble. But it is just a portion of what you're trying to accomplish. You have to have, when it comes down to it, Zappos is only exists because it has team members. Without it, it doesn't exist. And having the culture that you guys set up is phenomenal in creating a group of champions. One of the things I love, can you explain the Zappos policy of offering $4,000 or more to quit once a team member has made it through the 5-week orientation?
Sure. Yeah, it actually started lower than that, but it's been increasing over time because not enough people take the offer. So the original concept was just that after a candidate goes through the 5 weeks of training and makes it, and before the offer is actually, you know, finalized, is an offer of $4,000 for that candidate to quit. And that we found is just a way to ask people to be really serious. Seriously ask yourself the question, is this the right culture fit for me? Is this a place that I'm actually going to, you know, believe in these sort of values, these 10 values that they live and die by and hire and fire by? And so it's sort of like a honest question to candidates coming in and to show how important those core values are. And if they don't, you know, accept it, it doesn't mean they're bad people. It's just they're not aligned. And that's a big question that we often ask is, are your personal values aligned with your company core values? And if they're not, then there might be a problem there.
Because truthfully, if you're willing to take $4,000 and run, you're not going to make a great team member for me anyways.
Right. Well, it's, you know, different priorities, I guess, or different values.
Sure. And it's going to cost me a lot more in the long run if I wait to figure that out.
Right.
You are working with Delivering Happiness. This is your new venture. This is the new thing that you're doing, which is just killing it. You do a lot of work these days of delivering the message of happiness. What exactly is happiness? I mean, I know it's a feeling, but how have you systematically defined it as it relates to leadership and influence in the workplace? Is there a formula? Is there a framework?
Well, I wouldn't say formula, but we definitely see it as frameworks. And we keep it at a framework level because at the end of the day, happiness is pretty subjective. Yes, you know, 10 different people, you might get 10 different answers. But what's been really interesting and why this whole concept of delivering happiness and why we evolved it into a company is that in parallel of what we've been seeing from a business standpoint, whether it's Zappos or other long-term sustainable brands like Apple, for example, or McDonald's or Coca-Cola, what we're seeing there from a business side and then what we're seeing from a science side. So this whole concept in a new field called science of happiness and some call it positive psychology that overlaps was developing in the last several years. And what's been interesting is that what that shows is that there's actually science to what creates and sustains long-term happiness. And that's really key in what we talk about because a lot of people know what, you know, pleasure is and fleeting happiness is like going out with your friends one night or having a perfect date. Things like that are great forms of happiness, but unfortunately not sustainable in the long term. So this field of science and happiness question, so what is it that it's going to take to make us have long-term sustainable happiness? And why are we as humans so bad at it? Even though we know, you know, we all have our definitions, but and we're at a clearly much more evolved state of the world than, you know, our parents and our ancestors were. So why are we still so bad at it? So what's been so interesting in that research is that it comes down to pretty basic things. It comes down to having passions that are true to yourself and actually pursuing those in the form of engagement. It comes down to your relationships, what we call connectedness, so the depth and breadth of your relationships at work or at home. It comes down to having a sense of progress in your life, that you're continuing to learn and grow. It's having a sense of ultimately higher purpose, so that if you have a clear definition of what your purpose is that's true to yourself, then that actually gives you the most long-term sustainable happiness. So that could be an example of, you know, volunteering at your local charity or doing something that returns, you know, some sort of benefit back to greater society, something greater than yourself. So what we thought was so interesting is that if you look at these things from the science side, the science of happiness, how there's pleasure, everyday pleasure, and on top of that, there's passion, and the most ultimate long-term sustainable happiness is higher purpose, it actually completely parallels with what we see on the business side. So again, going back to the business, one of the necessary things is profits, and then the next thing beyond that is having a passion and being passionate about what you're doing, and your employees passionate about it as well. And then on top of that is in terms of having the most long-term sustainable brand or business, is having that higher purpose. So if you can imagine two parallels, whether it's at life or at work, these concepts and frameworks of happiness can be applied. And that was sort of an epiphany for us. And what we're realizing is it's a worthwhile and strong sort of framework that anyone can use, whether it's in the workplace or out.
I love that. How does all this happiness translate into revenue? Because seriously, I know there are some folks sitting out there right now that are going, oh, for the love, because they're small business owners. They've been, you know, they've been digging it out.
Yeah.
The way that they have become successful is that they figured out a widget. They figured out how to build that widget. They figured out how to sell that widget. And by gosh, I pay you, come to work, do your job, go home. I don't care if you're happy. And they're, you know, everything that you just summed up, I think can go in one ear and out another. So to kind of bring them this direction, how do you relate this happiness to the bottom line?
Sure. It's, it's interesting. It's just like, this is such a relatively new field of bringing these things, these ideas together. And just within the last year, I would say there have been so many books and research that have come out on this exact thing. And what it comes down to, from a business, if we were to use business terms, if you make your employees happier, that actually increases their productivity and increases their level of engagement with other employees and increases the level of how they can actually, how their work translates into more, you know, effort, productivity, and in the end, if the operation is aligned the right way, in the end, it'll be profits. So I, you know, just last month, go to the bookstore and I open up, and I go to the bookstore and see the shelf, and there's the latest issue of the Harvard Business Review.
Yeah.
And on it is this big smiley face, as you saw it as well.
Mm-hmm.
And smiley face with dollar signs at the end of its smile. And at the end of the day, what that means is just that there's more and more research being done and showing.
And the title is The Value of Happiness.
Yes, exactly. And so for me, that's just really reinforced everything that we've been doing from day one, whether it's Zappos and when we decided to focus on employee happiness and customer happiness at Zappos. Because at the end of the day, those all this psychological research, all this social science research, and all this business research goes back to this basic concept of, you know what, if you actually treat your employees right, they'll treat each other right, they'll treat your customers right, and all this done more organically and all this done more naturally because you're just letting them be who they really are. And in the end, it translates to bottom line because of those elements of productivity, engagement, and if your operations are aligned the right way, it'll lead to profits. And on the other side of that is also the the message that you're sending to your customers. Because naturally, if you're, you know, you've got a customer service rep that's happy on the end of the line, that customer will be that much more inclined to stay on the phone with them, buy a little bit more if that's part of the, you know, part of the engagement. And at the end of the day, again, when you have so many companies out there doing exactly what you're doing, but maybe slightly different, they'll come back to you because they feel that you're being honest, authentic, and in the end, happy.
Absolutely. A buddy of mine, Ron Cook, used to manage a bunch of the pro football quarterbacks post NFL, and Kenny Stabler was one of the guys that he managed. And Kenny had a saying. He said, "It doesn't matter how talented your team is. If you don't have a happy locker room, you cannot win games." Mm. Period. And that's coming from one of the greats. So,
yeah.
I mean, that understanding of, you know, with a room full of massively talented people, if they're not happy, they don't win. As a leader, how do you build loyalty on a team? Like, what are some specific examples that you've used over the past years to build a more loyal team? And obviously, Zappos is a huge deal these days, but what advice would you give to the small business leader on like some specific things?
On specific things, I would go back taking it from the concept and then going to a tactical thing. So, going back to the framework, one of the ways to create happiness and sustain happiness for yourself or for your employees is the sense of perceived progress. Mm-hmm. So the sense of progress in your life. And so how Zappos did it, as an example, is that one of their pretty important positions in Zappos is being a buyer. So going from an assistant buyer to a buyer is usually an 18-month process. And that's how they started the training when they first started Zappos. But because of the sense of perceived progress or sense of progress, by taking that 18 months and chopping it up into 6-month chunks so that at every 6 months, there's this almost celebration of this is great, this is where you are, you're this much closer to being a buyer, and then again, it happening in 6 months. The whole notion of it is the same. I mean, it still takes 18 months. There's no more cost into it, though, by splitting it up by 6 months. But in the end, the employee is that much more engaged and optimistic and productive because they feel like they're progressing to becoming that buyer. But nothing else has changed on a cost side or, in effect, the duration.
Because
so that's an example.
18 months is such a long time to hear that you've done a great job.
Right, exactly. And just so that's one example on the progress side, and another on a sense of, because a sense of control is another big part of having happiness. And that just means coming down to, you know, feeling like you have choice over what your decisions are and the freedom to make them. Mm. So examples, again, of Zappos is just going back to the customer loyalty team. No one has any scripts. They're allowed to talk as long as they want. Actually, the latest, I think, the record customer service call has been 8.5 hours now
with
a single customer. No idea what they talked about. Maybe they're just, you know, chatting about life. But again, reinforcing that, you know, you have the freedom to talk about whatever you want to talk about as a rep. And the more natural in that conversation is, they're actually encouraged to talk about things that are personal to them. If they hear a dog barking or something, then they'll talk about dogs, that sort of thing. That. And so that sense of control for that rep, that they can have the ability to write a personal card to a specially friendly customer and send it in the mail, or send them flowers if they found out one of their relatives died. You know, those kind of things that give them the ability to make choices and feel like they're empowered to do it their own way.
I love it. 8.5 hours. Was there a sale made?
I don't know. I have no idea.
Got a $30 pair of shoes, but hey. That is amazing. I think the best part of it, I mean, obviously that's an anomaly. You're not stacking up 8.5 hour conversations, but you've changed the way. I mean, if just by looking at the ability for somebody to have a personal conversation with a customer, it's building, you know, we're talking about building loyalty inside the team, but the truth is building loyalty inside the team has built loyalty in your customers.
Mm-hmm.
Which has been strong and huge for Zappos. What I'm sure there's something that you've come across in your tenure now of saying, man, I wish I knew this. What for all those young business leaders out there that are just starting, that are the young Gen Lims out there that are just getting going, what is the one thing or the couple of things that you wish you knew when you got started?
Wow. There's so many ways to answer that question. And oftentimes when people ask me that, I said, in a way, yeah, it would have been nice, but I wouldn't want it any other way. Because only when I made those mistakes did I realize, you know, that was a mistake and how to react differently the next time. And actually, I think made me all that better because of it. But that's, you know, to take it as a hypothetical question, I think everyone asks. I think that I had to go through a series of ups and downs, both professionally and professionally. I was laid off after the first .com days in the late 90s, and personally, I lost people that were very dear and near to me, like my dad. And those were pretty big events in my life that made me realize, you know what? This is our one time. This is our one chance. So what am I going to do on a day-to-day basis that are really based on truly my values of who I am as a person, so that every day I know that I'm doing something meaningful and contributing to myself and the world outside of me. I took a while to get to that point, so that I think Steve Jobs actually mentioned something of this. Like he asks himself every morning whether or not he is looking forward to what he's doing for the rest of the day. Right. And if he said that, said no to that a few times, then he knew something was wrong. And I guess I feel like that was a similar path that I had to go through of making those wrong choices and feeling that it wasn't right, true to who I am. But coming to this point today that, you know what, the earlier you can figure out your values and the earlier you can figure out who you are, then, and again, lose that fear of failure, then every single day you can go to sleep soundly, you know, knowing that that was a worthwhile day.
Love it. That is good stuff. Be true to yourself instead of doing what everybody does and trying to find that, you know, what is the business that's going to make me happy? What is the job that's going to make me happy?
Mm-hmm. You know,
what makes you happy? If you just start there, are you enjoying right. what you're doing? If right. not, maybe get off the bus. Well, tell us what's next for you. What are you doing? What are you working on right now?
Yeah, I mean, at this point, we'll be 1 year old in March. And and the whole thing for delivering happiness to, at least to today, has been really just nurturing this community that has grown pretty organically since the book came out, since we did this cross-country bus tour, got to meet people that were emailing us and telling us how, you know, reading the book, they said, thank you for writing it. They changed our lives, and I quit my job, or now I'm actually pursuing my passion, or, you know, now I'm finally opened up that shop I always wanted to. And so these are all these amazing stories that come to us every day. And so for us as a company, our number one priority is our community. They're essentially our customers. We're here to be that platform so we can continue to have meaningful exchanges and help each other out around the world. And for us as a company, now we just need to institute our ways of making ourselves sustainable from a financial side. So the two ways that we're going about doing that is what we call delivering happiness at work, which is essentially our coaching arm, helping other businesses and organizations figure out their own core values, reinforce their own company culture, and essentially apply happiness as a business model, what Zappos has done. So that's one side, and the other side is merchandising. We created a lot of t-shirts and hats and things along the way during the tour, and it hit an emotional chord. So we're developing a line around that so that everything, all the profits would go back to, again, our number one priority being the community and nurturing it into a meaningful place for people to continue with happiness, whether it's in life or at work.
You have got to love that every day you get up and make people happy.
Yeah, I have no complaints.
I bet you don't.
Yeah. It's not one of those things you know, in grade school you say, yeah, I want to be a chief happiness right. officer. But it evolved that way, and I'm, yeah, again, no complaints.
Well, how can they get a hold of you? How can they find out how to get more of this information on delivering happiness?
Sure, yeah, deliveringhappiness.com. You can find us there, and we have a pretty active community on Facebook. So if you go to facebook.com/deliveringhappiness, and on Twitter, we're DH Movement, so standing for Delivering Happiness Movement, and I'm at DH Movement CEO.
Fantastic. Well, Jen, thank you so much for this time. This is incredible information. I know that folks, that if they're missing out on everything that you just shared, then they are truly missing out on growing their business. So thank you again for being with us.
I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Absolutely. Jen Lim, everybody. Well, that was a fun interview. That I love the concept of teaching people to teach their people to be happy, helping people to be happy in their business. Because the truth is, if people aren't happy, they're not doing a good job. They're not doing a great job. If you don't love what you're doing, if you're not happy when you come to work every day, well, then how much are you really putting out in productivity? I mean, seriously. So that, I love that. Folks, you've got to understand what she's saying there. Keeping a happy team, creating a happy team, creating a loyal team is going to add to your bottom line. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. So I loved it. Mefford, what'd you think of that interview? What'd you get out of that?
Well, first off, can we just admit my score of having this on the desk when she referenced it, the Harvard Business Review?
The Harvard Business Review, absolutely. That was brilliant.
Thank you very, very much. I liked a few things she said, more than a few, but treat your team right and they'll treat your customers right. You know, how many times do we go to the mall and we're like, why do these people, why do I get such terrible customer service? And the reality is because their leaders treating them crappy or terrible, and the corporate office isn't doing a good job kind of training the leaders to treat their people right, so they'll treat the customers right. I think we can all relate to that. And the other thing that stood out to
me is... Are you saying people at the mall aren't happy?
Well, I've had some bad customer service experiences.
One or 10,000.
At the mall on occasion. If your personal values don't match up to your company's personal values or your company values, there's going to be tension. And, how many people, I wonder, work in an environment where their personal values don't match what their leader or their company's values are. Mm-hmm. And that can create not a really good work environment going both ways. So as a leader, you want to hire people that match your business values and your personal values. And as a person coming in to work for a company, I want to make sure that company matches my personal values, because I'll be a lot happier and I'll probably work a lot harder in that environment.
I don't see how you can work. Obviously you can do it for a paycheck. You can work anywhere for a paycheck if that's your main concern. You don't have to care about whether or not the values line up or not. But in the long run, as you get older, as you spend time doing that, at some point in your life, you got to go, if I disagree with these values, I got to get out of here. I got to go do something that's fun. I love, like she referenced Steve Jobs saying, every day when he wakes up, he says, am I going to love what I'm doing today? Am I going to be happy about what I do today? If you're not, go somewhere else. A couple of things I loved in there that she talked about was that, building loyalty within the team, a couple of those aspects are making sure that they have a sense of control, that they have a sense of control, which is so funny because that goes against what most young leaders think or most dominant leaders think. They think that they need to be the ones in control. But the truth is if I'm a team member and I have a sense of control, I feel better about what I'm doing. Also, I loved her perceived progress. If you're putting somebody in a role and they're going to be doing this for 18 months, don't wait 18 months to tell them how well they've done. Don't wait 18 months to say, oh, you've done it right. You're good. You can now graduate onto the next level. Instead, walk this through, break it up into pieces. Hey, here's how you're doing right now. This is something that we do here. We spend a lot of times, we don't have annual reviews. We have annual checkups. And the reason is simple. We spend so much time working with our team members on a daily, weekly basis that we don't have to have a review at the end of the year. We just have a checkup. Hey, you've been doing a great job. So, fantastic stuff. I also loved, for you small businesses that are getting started, for those of you that are contemplating starting a business, probably my favorite thing she said about that was separate yourself from the rest of the noise. There's so much noise going on out there. There's so many businesses trying to do maybe the same thing that you're doing. Or, there's competition out there that is getting in the way. Separate yourself from the rest of the noise. Figure out what it is that you do. Figure out what it is that you do well, and figure out how you can succeed at that. Then you'll create a great company. Well, folks, it has been an incredible podcast. I don't know if we've shared this lately, but we have been winning with this podcast because of you. You guys have created this and made this the number one in the business section podcast on iTunes world freaking wide. So we love that because of you guys. Do us a favor, help spread the word. Let other people know about us. Let other people know about the podcast. Let them know what you're thinking. Again, we want to hear from you, so let us know. We'd love for you to follow us on Twitter at Entree Leadership. That is at ENTRE Leadership. Or follow me at Chris Licurto, ChrisLocurto. Send us your questions, your comments to podcast at EntreeLeadership.com. And also make sure you make it on over to ChrisLocurto.com. I want to say thanks to the people that make this happen. Obviously, Chris Mefford, our producer. Colin Fatke, our audio extraordinaire. Becky Powell, our queen of happiness. Can we get away with that one? Obviously, Jen Lim, Dave Ramsey. And again, my name is Chris Licurto. Folks, go out there. Make this an incredible day. Take this information. Change your business. Change your life. Change your leadership, and we look forward to talking to you on the next Entree Leadership Podcast.
Hey, this is Daniel Tardy with Dave Ramsey's Entree Leadership Master Series event. This event offers personal leadership coaching from our executive team, in addition to Dave teaching you his entire business playbook. We're thrilled to announce that our next event will be at the gorgeous Westin La Paloma Resort in Tucson, Arizona, May 6th through the 12th. Our last event sold out early. These events always sell out early because they're limited to 200 people. So if you want to lock in a seat, you better call our team today at 888-227-3223. Just ask for me, Daniel Tardy.
Folks, right now couldn't be a better time in history to operate or start a small business. If you're ready to take your leadership to the next level or start your own company, then join me, Dave Ramsey, for the one-day event based on my New York Times number one bestseller, Entree Leadership. At Entree Leadership One Day, I'll teach you everything you ever wanted to know about building and growing a business. Get your seats now at DaveRamsey.com or call 888-22-PEACE. That's 888-227-3223.
Running a business is not for wimps. If you lead people on a daily basis, you know how tough it is. You want your team to enjoy coming to work every day with the same level of passion you have. How can you do that? We've got three ways. John Acuff, Chris Hogan, and Chris Licurto. These speakers travel the country inspiring business audiences, both large and small. They're not only endorsed by Dave Ramsey, they're on his team. They live and breathe Entree Leadership. They get it. And they know how to get it across to your people in their own unique styles. They'll share practical, proven, easy-to-understand principles that will impact how your team sees their work, and more importantly, how they see themselves. This is real-life stuff straight from the trenches. Dave's company has won Best Place to Work in Nashville 5 times in a row for a reason. You can win too, but you have to be intentional about it. Call our speakers group to schedule John Acuff, Chris Hogan, or Chris Licurto today. Call 888-284-2488. That's 888-284-2488 or online at DaveRamsey.com/speakers.